Well, to Queensland, and Queensland's education minister has ordered an investigation into how at least 8 schools are taught the wrong material for today's Year 12 Ancient History exam. The topic changed from Emperor Augustus to Julius Caesar this year, but several schools, including Brisbane State High, missed the update. Ray Lawrence is Professor of Ancient History at the School of Humanities at Macquarie University and joins me now. Ray, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Hi, Sunny. Hi.
What's your reaction to this mistake with so many students being taught the wrong topic for ancient history?
It would be fairly mortifying for the schools and absolutely terrible for the students. I'm sort of going, you can kind of see how it might happen. I mean, there is a bit of historical mess here because the name of Augustus Caesar is it's fairly complex because he was adopted by Gaius Julius Caesar, who's personally called Julius Caesar, and actually was called for a bit of his life Gaius Julius Caesar, because if you're adopted, you take the name of the person. So being Gaius Octavius, being adopted by Gaius Julius Caesar, he ends up being Gaius Julius Caesar.
So do you think that's how this this mix-up may have happened?
No, this is just a kind of a classic mistake where they've changed the syllabus and somebody hasn't noticed the difference and got the pack from last year for this year, I think.
So hypothetically, would there be enough similarities for the students to get through? Is there going to be a bit of crossover that might help them here between the Caesars?
Not entirely. Both of them are great generals, and Julius Caesar obviously gets stabbed. That's a big Ides of March thing. And becomes a dictator, whereas Augustus, once he takes on the name Augustus, which is only till 27 BCE, which is much later, he calls himself, he takes the name Augustus and calls himself Princeps, first man. But in actual fact, he's a king or a monarch, but doesn't use the word dictator or king ever. Mm. A bit like if Trump said, I'm not going to be president, I'm going to be called something else when he's re-elected. So that would be the similar thing there. But I mean, they're both great generals, so you might. But if you wrote about the wrong guy, I think the people marking it will have problems giving you any marks. It's totally depressing for the students. I mean, imagine going into an exam knowing you're going to do the exam because you have to do the exam because otherwise you can't get any concessions. But you're going into an exam paper where you know you've got the wrong stuff rather than, plenty of us may have gone into exams when we were much younger and going, the teacher didn't teach us the right syllabus, but we didn't actually know that when we were faced with something we couldn't actually do.
No, it's a very difficult situation for those students and their families. Ray, what do we know about the number of young people who are studying ancient history, whether it's at school or university? Is there still a strong appetite for ancient history and the classics?
I only actually know about the New South Wales figures, and the New South Wales figures are much higher than any state. They're about, it's something like 7,400 set the paper this year, which is up by 16% on previously. It used to be about 10,000 10 years ago, but it seems to be as popular. I mean, I teach first year ancient history at Macquarie University, and I teach about 400 students in that course, which is fairly incredible. I mean, talking to people in Melbourne recently, and they're saying, yep, our first year courses have 400 students. So plenty of people want to do ancient history. I think there's a thing where parents sort of say, well, why not do commerce? That would be much better, or something like that.
Dentistry. It's interesting. I mean, and sometimes there's an argument there, not even ancient history, but studying history itself. How do you best explain the relevance of maintaining this education of ancient history now?
I think we're in a bit of a losing battle at the moment, but I think if you look at what chief executives are interested in, they're interested in tech and they're interested in history. They read a lot of history. And it's partly because it gives you a really sort of long-term perspective if there's a crisis, you're going, and what ancient history students particularly do is they use evidence-based arguments. We're constantly going, well, how do we know that's true from 2,000 years ago? What is the actual evidence which survives today? And looking at that evidence, we make arguments. And there was a Year 12 student who said he really liked ancient history to me because he said, you have to use your head. And I asked him what he meant. He said, well, in modern history, you read about it and you have to know that narrative. But ancient history, he said, you've got this bit over here and this bit over here, and you have to work out what the connection is. So connecting things which don't look obviously connected is another area. So these are real skills. And I think it's also we deal constantly with partial data. We don't have all the facts from the ancient world to know about these people. And the skill of actually going, well, I know about this bit and this bit, and we've got to actually say something at that point, but we don't know everything. And we can't know everything in our current world, contrary to what large language models keep telling us that we might know something from them, but we find it's not true. So that intuitive thing, I think, is very valuable in the employment market as well.
I absolutely loved history at school and at uni, and continue to love it now. Ray, thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Ray Lawrence is a professor of ancient history in the School of Humanities at Macquarie University, talking about this era for the ancient history exam in Queensland, where students from some schools were taught the wrong material.